say I'm pretty much impressed by this setup here. I'm not used to that. Let me say a few words just to fill in some of the story on the American side of the what happened in the last 20 years. After that, I want to say a few things about the very current situation and indeed current priorities. And then as time permits, we'll see how long it takes to say something about what I think is really going on, what the general background is, which is quite interesting and illuminating, I think. As far as the basic story you've just heard, the East Timor was a Portuguese colony when the Portuguese Empire was collapsing in the early 1970s. All the Portuguese colonies were moving towards some kind of independence. East Timor was no exception. Several political parties got organized. There was a brief civil war instigated by the Indonesians, in fact, in August 1974, in which a couple of thousand people were killed. The outcome of it was that one group described by the Australian, former Australian consul there as basically populist Catholic, Fretilin, took control after the civil war. The Portuguese left. The Indonesians began an invasion. The invasion started right away. It was well known to Australian intelligence, to U.S. intelligence, to the British. There are lots of leaked diplomatic cables in Australia that tell the whole story. The Americans basically told the Indonesians to give them a green light, said, we're not going to bother you. But go ahead, just do it as cleanly as you can. Kissinger's line, he was Secretary of the State at the time, was do it fast and don't use our equipment. Well, that would have been a little difficult since 90% of the equipment was from the United States, so they naturally used the equipment. The actual invasion, the official invasion, was delayed a couple of days to avoid embarrassing President Ford and Henry Kissinger, who were visiting Jakarta, so they waited until 12 hours or so after they left. The initial invasion began extremely bloodily. There was thousands of people killed within days, in fact. There was press coverage, I'll come back to that, it was pretty well known. The Security Council of the United Nations met, passed a resolution calling on Indonesia to withdraw immediately and unconditionally and reaffirming the principles to which I'll return later because they're very much alive, significant right now, about non-acquisition of territory by force. The United States signed on to that. However, it moved in the background to render it ineffective. The matter was described rather frankly by the U.S. Ambassador at the United Nations at the time, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, in his memoirs a couple of years later, A Dangerous Place. He describes his heroism in standing up to various third world demons at the UN, but he does happen to mention this. And what he says is that the United States wanted things to turn out as they did. My task was to render the United Nations utterly ineffective in any action it might try to undertake, and I carried this out with considerable success. He then goes on to describe the success. He says within the next few weeks, Indonesia had killed about 60,000 people in East Timor. He says approximately the proportion of the population that the Germans had killed in Eastern Europe under the Nazis. And then after having proudly compared himself to the Nazis, he moves on to the next topic, secure in the understanding that nobody here would care about that or mention it, even though it's a perfectly public book. You can read it. And that he would then become, as he is, the greatly honored exponent of international law and proper behavior among nations, constantly lauded in cover stories in the New York Times Magazine and so on for his principled commitment to international law. Well, Moynihan's a former professor. He knows how the academic world works. and the media world, and his judgment turned out to be quite accurate.